You are listening to Talking Home Renovations with a House Maven. Is it time to renovate your house, but you're worried that you don't really know what you're doing? This is an educational and entertaining podcast that will ease your fears. Or maybe you just love hearing about home renovations like I do. I am your host, Catherine McPhail. I am an architect. I practice in Eastern Massachusetts. On the show, I interview other architects, vendors, contractors, and homeowners to gather tips and stories about home renovations. You can learn about materials, systems, sustainable practices, what to expect, what to avoid, and how to make the most of the money that you'll spend on your renovation. Architect Dori Azar joins me in this episode to talk about working with an architect. Dori is a Canadian architect. He's celebrating 10 years of running his own firm. Here's my conversation with Dori. Dori, I know you're a really busy guy, so thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for inviting me.
So you're an architect.
Yes.
You're Canadian.
Yes.
I think you're my first international guest.
Oh, no pressure.
Yeah. All right. So what are we going to talk about today?
Renovations. All and right. Additions, so, right? I guess we can roll those into the same.
I think of renovations and additions to be one. Like if you're renovating your house, you might be changing it a lot, adding a second floor or an addition or.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever. Gutting the whole thing. I don't think I've ever done an addition that didn't touch any other part of the house. You know, it's just a clean, brand new space. You know, not touching, not redoing the flooring throughout or trim or whatever. There's usually a renovation associated with it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how that could be possible. Like how you could just add this bit, be like a caboose to a tray.
Let me think about that. I don't know. That's a good, it would be an interesting, I mean, short of like a, you know, a screened room or a, you know, back porch or something like that. But no, I think.
No.
Yeah, you're going to make me think about that one.
If anybody's planning to do that in the first place, they always add stuff on as the process goes on. So it's not...
Scope creep is real.
I don't know if it's even possible.
Yeah.
It's very real. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you yourself, you mostly do new houses or how much of your work would you say is like additions and renovations?
Since COVID started, probably 60%.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's probably a little more than half. We found that with COVID just once, and I don't know where you're living right now, but in our area, land costs have gone absolutely crazy. Material costs, as we all know, have gone absolutely crazy. So people weren't traveling and people weren't going anywhere. So we found a lot of people coming to us to help improve their existing property, whether it was, you know, a small addition or a massive overhaul or and everything in between. But people really started to invest in their own properties.
They really did. You know, it made me wonder how much they spend on their vacations. Because people would always say, well, we're not going anywhere this year, so we're going to, you know, put a pool in.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Wow. All right. So you take $60,000 vacations every year. That's very cool.
Yeah, that's cool for them.
Yeah. So that was... you know, if I'd say 50, 60 is renovation, probably 40 is new construction, 45. And then there's a little bit of commercial work that we do in there for some repeat clients.
When you think about a renovation, what would you want a homeowner who has never done anything like this? Mm-hmm. What would you like them to know?
Geez, the first thing that they should know is that they have to have somebody that they can work with on their side, right? Of course, I'm going to be here advocating for architects, but I think there's nobody better suited to control that trajectory of that project than the right architect. I know in our area, at least, we're very contractor-driven area. So the thought often here is when somebody wants a project built or an addition built, they go to a builder, right? There's a logical connection there. I need something built, I'll go to a builder. And they can help me facilitate the project. But I think that's not a bad phone call. You're going to need a builder at some point. I think the right first phone call is to interview your architect or architects to see who's that person you're going to connect with, who's going to be there shoulder to shoulder with you to help you vet through some of those murkier parts of the renovation, you know?
Yes. Yeah, because I always say that there are lots of decisions to be made. And if you don't make them, then the contractor, the builder is going to make them. Mm-hmm. And he might assume that, of course, you want. I always use the example of trim or like baseboard. Mm-hmm. Like you think the homeowner might think it's going to be this way. And then the builders is making a different assumption. Yeah. So it's not the same.
Yeah, because builders are builders. They'll do whatever you ask them to do. But you're right. If you don't ask them, if you're not clear on something, the opportunity for assumption is just enough to derail the project.
Yeah.
A little too much. So yeah, it's always a good idea to start with your architect, because what the architect's going to do. And I forget where I heard this for, but they compared the architect to the general practitioner, your medical general practitioner. It's like, they're not the specialist in the category, but they are going to see the big picture of it. Or they are architects are the specialists in this case, but they are going to see the big picture, right? So they're not making decisions in isolation. They're not saying that siding, oh yeah, that's the siding that we have to use, without backing up and saying, how does it tie together with everything else? So I think that's why architects are important and valuable, is that they're looking at the whole project and not just one element. You know, if you consulted your countertop company on countertops, they're going to sell you the highest end countertop that they have, because they think that that's the best thing for the project, or flooring, or whatever. If you talk to those people in isolation, you might end up with very high quality things across the board, but that don't work well together. So having that design professional on your side that can say, yeah, this is no, you don't have to spend that much on that thing. You can hit this price point because it works great with that price point. And now we have a little, you know, a couple extra bucks to save or to apply to something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So when someone, if they don't know to call an architect, or in some cases an interior designer or some other design professional, mm-hmm. How would they even know to call to begin with? I guess because they listen to this podcast, right?
I don't know anybody who doesn't listen to this podcast. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. It is very popular.
The source of all things.
Right.
That's, I think, one of the things that architects have to keep doing better. Social media has been really nice for helping spread the word, not only from architects projecting what they do, but also, you know, I often get tagged in a Facebook post or an Instagram post where somebody's saying, hey, I'm looking to put an addition on my house. Who should I call? I'm looking to do. Mm. And then people who do know you and do know you do that kind of thing, are quick to throw your name out there. And then that's our opportunity to prove our value and our knowledge and, really, really make the homeowners feel comfortable.
Right. As someone who's never done this before, what should they expect?
Let me talk about my process. If somebody called me today and said, hey, I want to put an addition on my house and renovate the rest of it. So the way our office works is we always try to get a big picture understanding of what the point of the addition is. Sometimes people say they want to add, let's say, 3 bedrooms to their home or 2 bedrooms, whatever. But it turns out that maybe just a reconfiguration of what they currently have might need them only add 1 bedroom or something like that. So we generally sit, we'll meet, we'll take inventory of what they have and what they need and what we can do. You know, sometimes people say, yeah, I want to build, 20 feet out the side of my house. I said, well, you only have 10 feet there. So you can't, we're kind of landlocked and sort of helping with that. Once they become clients, I should say, the negotiations aside, once they've signed a contract and they're working with us.
Right.
So there is the conversation of understanding what they want, what the purpose of the renovation is. So is it just to freshen things up? Do you need more space? Do you want more space? In 10 years, will that space be used the same? You know, is it a young family? Is it a retired couple? Because those are sort of clues as to how well the renovation is going to age. So we try to understand them and their lifestyle as much as possible so that we can sort of put all that in a blender and make it work. And then an open mind always helps too, Catherine. So anytime a homeowner comes to us, I really appreciate when they're kind of loose about the process, that they understand that it's not, a renovation is a renovation. There's things behind the walls and in attics and, below grade that we don't have x-ray vision, right? We just can't see ahead of time. So based on the age of the home, you make some assumptions, you know, selectively demolish what you can to investigate certain things. But just knowing that, you know, all the things that we've prepared, you might have to, you know, just meander around a plumbing stack if it's in an unfortunate spot that's too hard to relocate or mm-hmm. things like that. So an open mind is really an important thing to bring to the table for a client, just so that, you know, when you do hit a speed bump or a hiccup along the way, which I'm sure in your experience, they happen in renovations.
Oh, yeah, they happen. Yep. Know? Yep. No, they do.
Especially even once construction starts and building inspectors are on site and interpretations and right. It's nothing's the end of the world, right? Everything will get worked through.
Yes.
But there are snags along the way. And and then just working with the architect on sort of being clear about what you want and the open-mindedness of what it could be.
Yeah, that is true. Managing expectations in all of life, of course, but also in renovations, it's going to be just, I have seen people be so disappointed, which I think comes out as, you know, anger. It doesn't mm-hmm. have so if you have really rigid expectations that may also be unrealistic, it's not going to be comfortable.
I love those rigid expectations are, that's a great word combination there because it's yeah. And I've worked with people who are very firm and it has to be this and it has to be that. And the second something's, you know, you have to move that door opening over 4 inches. Mm-hmm. It's the end of the world. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's then the next time that window had to be lowered an inch because of, you know, whatever, then that multiplies the disappointment. And it's like, really, you know, when we look back in 5 years, those aren't going to be the end of the world things that happen to your project.
Right.
But if you're expecting everything to go absolutely perfect, I mean, everybody's trying to.
Right.
And sometimes they do, right? Sometimes you hit a home run and it goes great. But, you know, I'm involved in a couple right now that are just, I mean, you're taking like the baby steps through the process because you just don't know what that next thing is going to, you know, floodplains and poor soils and, you know, rotted structure. And you have to come to the table with an open mind. Those clients are.
Yeah.
But if you come in with, you know, it's got to be this and it has to be exactly like that, I think disappointment's going to be a lot easier to find.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, no matter whether you hire an architect or you hire just a contractor, you're still going to have the rot. And like you said earlier, the bees in the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think we help them through the difficult processes. Like there was one project where there were a bunch of things that were not turning out the way I had expected them to. So also I need to have kind of flexibility as well, because if I draw it a certain way and then they don't build it that way, then I have to decide whether it's worth forcing them to rebuild it, which I could, mm-hmm. I guess, or yep. whether I just need to make it work. So
yeah, so let's talk about the architect having to be flexible too.
Yep, we do.
You know, it's yeah. So it's not just the client that has to come to the table a little bit flexible. So even the architects as well, like on any given renovation project, a lot of times they have an idea of what they want, but sometimes don't know the potential of what they've got. So while they might say, I need A, B, and C, you might start working on it and realize that there's a D mm-hmm. or an E
right.
that they hadn't thought about. And it's on you to pitch that back to them. And if it's a really clever solution or a good idea, they might need some time to think about some things.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't always steamroll your clients. You know, everybody's got a schedule, right? It should take about schedule. Well, let's talk about schedules too and managing timelines. Homeowners oftentimes they're spending, let's say, hundreds of thousands, you know, on this. You can't expect them to make a decision in an hour,
no,
in
true.
A day, in a weekend. You know, right. sometimes they need time to, and especially if it's a renovation, this has happened to me a couple of times where, you know, they'll meet at my office and we'll go through the design with them. And then they'll take those drawings home and walk their house with them. And now they're, you know, they're looking at the drawings and looking at that wall and, you know, okay, yeah, they come up with a few options and then they want to sleep on it. And so they do, and they, and I don't blame them. You can't force people to make a big decision in an unreasonably short amount of time.
Right.
So, in my experience, you know, but at the same time, you can't give them 2 months to make a decision because that's just gonna, you know, derail the whole schedule of your office and their project. It wouldn't be unfair for a homeowner to expect a patient architect as well.
Yeah, and a flexible one during construction, because I find a lot of contractors might not be that fond of architects, and this could be because they've had experiences in the past where architects are pretty inflexible about things right. that they have. To me, it's the things, big things go awry during the framing, in my mm-hmm. experience. And, yes. and I find yeah. that framers sometimes think a little bit too much for themselves. And I know that sounds kind of maybe, it sounds not very nice on my part, but like they think, well, we should build the wall over here because it makes more sense to line it up with the lower wall, for example. This happened mm-hmm. to me years ago on a project that we'd gotten permission to build this addition, because but we had to keep it in the setback. And the other one was not violated. It was like something like that where we got, yeah. the ZBA yeah. said, the Zoning Board of Appeals said we had to put the wall back a foot and a half or something. Mm-hmm. So that's the way it was designed, but I arrived and the framers had framed it out to the edge because it made more sense. You'd have a bigger room, right? I mean, yeah, right. that makes more sense. But
that makes more sense.
Yeah, it does. Makes more sense. But I said, I'm sorry, you have to. I mean, in that case, I had no choice, but because the town yeah. had given the permission to build it in a certain way. Mm-hmm. Other times I show up and it was supposed to be 7 feet to the top of plate for like mm-hmm. an addition off the back. And then they just built mm-hmm. it at 8 feet because it's better at eight. Better to have
that's
bigger
the way
ceilings.
I can buy them. Yeah.
And also, I don't have to cut it. Like, ah, oh, so I was too late. It was all framed, but it impacted yeah. the master bedroom above. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then I had to have different windows because the mm-hmm. it was like there are ramifications to just, but I had to go with that one and make it work.
Yeah. And let's, I love contractors.
I do too. Okay? I do too. I work for a lot of them.
My dad was one. My brother is one. I come from them. I'm cut from that cloth. Sometimes things that have kind of come around and backfired on me in the past is like, you're right, Catherine. We can't put a lawn chair in the front lawn and be there 24/7 while construction's happening, right?
Right.
So people are going to make decisions without reaching out to you or interpret things. Sometimes a dangerous path of communication, if you've been hired by the client, is when the contractor gets directly to the client about, hey, you know, the drawing shows this, but I think it would make more sense if we did this. We do it all the time.
Yep.
And the homeowner says, well, okay, that makes
sense. Yeah.
And we need an answer now. Otherwise, we have to leave for the day and we can't come back for 3 days.
Right.
The homeowner's going to say, okay, sure. Well, if you've done it before, yeah, let's do it.
Yep.
And then Catherine shows up and says, that wall's a foot and a half off and the ZBA won't allow it. And then there's problems.
Yeah.
Right. So I find... the path of communication
yeah.
is so critical sometimes because, you know, you don't know when, yeah, that room is 10 feet wide because they have a piece that's going to fit on that wall. Don't make it 9 feet wide because you don't know their furniture. You don't know their art situation. You don't know their,
right.
what that wall is being used for.
Right.
So trust us. And I have the chat with contractors all the time. It's just, believe all the decisions have been made already.
Yes.
You know, it's one less thing that you have to worry about. Just build it as we've drawn it. And if you run into a problem, don't build it until we've had a quick conversation.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It is all about the communications and working as a team together with the contractor, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, because they're doing a lot of, I mean, they're involved in this, their project as well as my project. I just want it. I'm kind of an advocate for the owners to get what they want, which we've already discussed. Probably yeah, over and over again.
It's their project,
right?
We're just here to handhold it to
yeah.
fruition.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
No, I remember I have a love this story one time. I was, it was a commercial project we were working on, but there was something that the contractor didn't like about the way we had the window inset into the wall. And it didn't give him enough surface to caulk around the window the way he wanted to. So he calls me out there and he jumped like unreasonably upset over a detail that is doable. He just didn't want to do it like that. And then he says, oh, and then I looked at him and said, wait, what would you do? And he just like, he looked at me. It's like, what? Like, well, what would you do? And he's like, oh, well, I would just do this and that. Like nobody had ever asked him before his opinion, you know, he was always just like, yelled at his whole life.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what would you do? And he's like, well, I would just do it like this. And I said, okay, next time I'll do it like that. And it just diffused him completely. It's like, you know, it's again, maybe there's a theme here of communication.
Yeah.
from all parties, because it's, you know, let's be honest, you can't rush a renovation either.
Right. No, you can't.
And, you know, communication, good communication takes time. Bad communication saves time, air quotes, saves time, but costs, I don't know, a lot of money and stress.
And trust.
And trust.
Right.
Is trust a thing? Do you have to trust your builder?
Trust is a thing. I think
yeah, I mean, the guy or girl is going to rip your house in half and, you know, take over for a few months. Patience. It's so hard to, it's so easy to talk about patience. It's so hard to exercise it.
Yeah.
But really, if there's any homeowners listening to this right now, that are thinking about a renovation, just deep breaths, right? It should all get done. You know, assuming you've selected the right team. And yeah, but it's going to take patience all the way through. Even right now, we're experiencing in our area huge delays in getting our building permits. Like, just so drawings are complete and in, contractors waiting to start, but there's that sweet spot in between where you're waiting for your permit, and something that should take 2 or 3 weeks is taking 2 or 3 months now. And that's the reality of where we're at right now. And so people are excited. People are anticipating weather. People are trying to plan moving out so that the contractor can come in and get the, and it's so hard to navigate that. And even COVID's made it, I mean, it's becoming cliche now, but it's made it so much harder, because some of the lead times on, even once you start construction, right? Like, I've got, right now we're experiencing real window delays.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And so, and what, could there be a more pivotal part of construction than the window? The thing that seals the interior from the exterior, and you know, you can't brick or side until the windows are in, and you can't drywall until the windows are in. Like, right. Everything is relying on those windows. So it's like, you get your permit and you have to like order your windows like immediately.
Right. But then if there's any change in the framing because you came across some kind of condition, then you're like, just have to make it work. See, that's where the like, we're just going to order these windows like we planned. We're going to hope for the best. Mm-hmm. And we may need to. Yeah, because they are, for certain windows, I have been hearing 26 weeks. That's a half a year. Mm-hmm. That's a long time. It's a long time.
Yeah. And things do change. You're right. Like that framer that framed that wall a foot taller, you might need a window that's a foot taller.
Right? I mean, because if an 8-foot wall needs a different kind of window than a 7-foot wall, I think, potentially.
Or somebody looks at it later and says, hey, architect put a little teeny window in that wall. Why would they make a decision like that?
Yep. Yep.
You know, and that's the legacy of what we do, right? Is when the project's complete, everything is really easy to pin on the architect.
Yes.
You know, well, why is that wall there? And why is that? And well, I don't know, the architect, you know?
Yep. Yep.
So, but I think the reward of it at the end is all worth all the trouble through it, you know?
Right.
I don't know about you. There's nothing I find more fulfilling than just watching that idea you scribbled on a piece of paper one day over lunch, because you had this kind of thought about how two things could come together, you know, months later, you know, there's a group of people putting it together.
Right.
You know, it's like, wow, this is really, really gratifying. Yeah. And the homeowners should feel the same way, I'd like to think.
Yeah. Oh, and then when you run into them later at the store or something, and they talk about how much they love their space, that makes it all worth it. Yep.
Or the referrals later say, you know, hey, you know, John Doe gave me your number. They said they love what you did at their house, and you know, the feedback like that.
Yeah.
Where it's not direct to you, like, you did a great job, but you get referrals and people name drop that client. You're like, oh, okay. I guess they really did like their. I liked it, but I guess they did too.
Yep.
They just express it different.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what it's all about for me anyway. So what else should anybody know if they're just starting out? You mentioned patience.
Yeah. Patience. You mentioned trust, which is, you know, patience and trust on a renovation. I don't know if there is anything else, you know, besides a contingency budget. just keep a few bucks off to the side just in case things.
Yeah. So do you bring these things up when you're first starting a project with someone, the importance of trust? And when, I mean, should we bring it up, or should we just assume it's going to happen, or?
No, I think, again, in the spirit of communication, I'd rather have that conversation now and have them say, yeah, I know what you mean, than not bring it up and have it be a critical thing. So the principles are the same, whether in architecture or life, right? I just like trust. And if somebody trusts, so let's talk about two clients, the client who trusts you and the client who doesn't, but for some reason they both hired you. Mm-hmm. The client who trusts you is going to, I think, have a much better and process and much more enjoyable process. The client who doesn't trust you is just looking for any, they're looking for typos in your emails. Mm-hmm. They're just looking for something to latch onto and to make bigger. So I think trust in your architect and trust in your contractor are huge. And that manifests in a million ways. Trust from, you're going to get back to me in a timely manner. You're going to design me a safe building. You're going to build me a safe building. You're going to tell me when something is or isn't happening. You're going to want to be true to the project. And if something is going to work, I'll tell you. And if something's not going to work, I'll tell you. And then it's on the home. Because trust isn't always good news, right? So there, that does lead to some difficult conversations. But again, if everybody trusts everybody and everybody's comfortable with everybody, those conversations should be had.
Yeah. There are clients who are worried that this isn't the way I wanted it. And it doesn't seem finished. And I say, well, maybe it's not finished. It's possible it's not finished. They haven't said it is, and you're there in a non-meeting time. So it's you know, we just need to until they're presenting it to you. And it may look disturbing in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. I've had that happen to me, not a lot, I don't know, maybe 2, 3, 4 times in my career, where you show up to the job site and you look at something and you're like, that's supposed to be a 10-foot ceiling in that room. That wall they framed is only 8 feet and nobody is here.
Yeah.
And so everybody wants to panic, right? And so you get a hold of the framer and he's like, you know what? Yeah, we built an 8-foot wall. We double checked it should be 10. We've just gone for lunch. Lumber will be here in an hour and we're going to fix that wall.
Right.
Like, oh, okay. You know, so rather than just, you know, flying off the handle and like, okay, maybe there's just something I don't know here. Yeah. You know?
Just maybe. Yeah.
And you know, I love saying, I love that, you know, people don't know what they don't know, right? And if everybody felt that way, I think the world would be an easier place to get along with, because yeah, if the homeowner and the contractor felt that way, like maybe there's something about this that I don't know. Let's all get in the room and talk. Let's you know, and not email. Email's great for what it is, but if there's a discrepancy, you know, people typing like they're lawyers is like, you know, whatever. So if there's a simple explanation, just get on the phone.
Yeah, it's really easy to misinterpret something that's written down like that, like in a text. Texts are tough too, because they're very short by their nature. So if you're thinking there's a certain emotion attached to it, then you might misinterpret the shortness of the text. You know, leads to misunderstandings. No,
that's a thing that I, most of my clients get a little conversation before we start working together of, texting is for things like, I'm running 5 minutes late, I'll be there as soon as I can. emailing is for things that, hey, I'm thinking about making a change, or here's my decision on that, or, you know, whatever, anything that we need to maybe put in a reference folder somewhere that we may have to call upon later. And phone calls are for something a little quicker, you know, and a little more urgent that you need just a quick sort of opinion on. But don't text me, you know, we're going to go with the 3-bedroom option and the like, that's not a text, right? Yeah. And people do that all the time. I got one yesterday that said there's the project, an addition and renovation that we're working on right now, where we're doing a crawl space. So it's just a 4-foot crawl space underneath the house. And she texted, not even me, Melissa in my office said, hey, could we make that 6 feet? Mm. And I'm like, wait, that's, and yeah, it was after hours too. So it's like an after hours text on somebody else's cell phone. So now it's like, okay, you have to, and will this cost more money? Will the contractor charge me more? It's like, okay, don't send that in an email. That's a good group email question. It's affecting a lot of people. And, you know, so Melissa now, who gets a text at 7 PM, has to remember to show it to me in the morning. Hope she doesn't get 10 other texts, which bumps that text off off her screen. Yeah. All that stuff. So yeah, I do have preferred methods of communication depending on what they're trying to communicate.
It's good that you actually bring that up, and that's inspiring me to also bring that up. Maybe have a checklist of things to discuss at the beginning, because if mm-hmm. someone texts me something like that, I know they've communicated with me. I'm searching my emails for the details. I can't find it. And then it turns out it's in a mm-hmm. text that, you're right, has been buried for, you know, under 100 other texts that I get.
once it's off that screen, right, it might as well be gone.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's, I have this kind of way that I work, and I'd rather have the difficult conversation now. To me, it's the end game. It's the end result, right? So how happy are we on the day you get your keys? So if there's conflict or disagreements or difficult conversations or anything along the way, if they're all to make the project better, then let's have them now. What I don't want to do is tell you what you want to hear for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then you get your keys and you're like, what? No. This isn't, my bed doesn't fit my, you know, or whatever, you know, all those, like, it still has to work.
Yeah.
You can't, it's not just about getting to the next step. They have to be the right decisions to get to the next step.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I know in additions and renovations, sometimes it's, oh yeah, you're just building an addition. You're just doing thing. It's like, no, it's almost harder than designing a home from scratch, right? Like you've inherited a whole set of conditions that you have to respond to now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, we're in a flood prone area where we have to raise the addition higher. Let's say, you know, the existing first top of first floor and the new top of first floor have to be 2 feet. The new floor has to be 2 feet higher due to some new regulation that didn't exist when the existing house was
built.
So now you're dealing with stairs, you know, a short flight of stairs in the house. And how does that affect the exterior? Well, that's more steps to get up to any exterior doors. And does that involve landings? And does that, you know, and you can't go ahead and, well, you can lift the existing house, but sometimes people, the question I get a lot in renovations is like, but do I have to do that? You know, no, you don't have to. Okay, then I don't want to.
Right. It's kind of involved, depending if they have a basement and everything.
Right. And again, like every condition or every project couldn't be more different than the previous one, right? Even two of the same projects are still going to have different criteria and outcomes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I worked on identical houses in one of those, you know, developments that had been all made in 1967.
Yep.
So two neighbors, identical houses and totally different renovations because they had different priorities and budgets and everything. So yeah.
Personalities.
And, yep. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely that. Yep. So they, they're never the same. That's kind of one thing that I like about it as opposed to building new, because building new is, it's a different thing, but it feels less contained to me. It feels more like just spilled out. There's just so many possibilities that I like the restrictions of the tighter, the better in a way, because then I could be more creative with like, how can we make this work in a way that's going to be the best.
So I love a compact, awkward challenge.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle,
design.
Right? So
yeah.
Fitting it all together.
I mean, even working on it, I'm really kind of a nerd for tight planning solutions, you know, and where can we sneak a closet? How do we interlock these spaces? And I love those puzzles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do a lot of third floor additions because where I live here, people don't have room to go out all the time. So they might have some room, and people want to build in spaces that sometimes you can't build in them, or it's within like a centimeter of being up to code. Like, okay.
Oh, you used metric there. Thank you.
Well, you know, I just like to be, you know, relate to my guests, but,
yeah, no,
you know.
Well, earlier I said ZBA and I didn't say ZBA. So I was trying to, you know,
that's sweet. We're both trying to be understood.
Doing our best
by the
here.
Other. Yeah.
Full disclosure though. Well, our codes are in metric in the province of Ontario, our region, like the southern point here, we're all metric, or I'm sorry, imperial.
Oh yeah.
So all of my documents are in imperial. And it makes for some really fun days of converting metric to, you know, do you use Revit?
I don't. I use Chief Architect, which is.
Oh, okay. You know. Yeah. Still BIM.
Yeah.
I have a certain dimension style that I use that has the dual units, the imperial and metric. Mm. So if I'm, you know, sizing joists or beams or spans or whatever, I'll run a bunch of dimensions and it gives me all the metric and imperial conversions in the same string. And then I'm got my codes on one side and my notes on the other. And but it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, that keeps your brain alive, right? It's those complicated things.
Yeah.
Well, any last ideas for our listeners?
Yeah. I'd say if you're in the market or position to put an addition on your home or renovate your home or both, build the right team, have the right architect, have the right contractor, if you don't know the right contractor, rely on, you know, your architect should be able to put you in front of some people that he knows you're going to click with, and just build the right team. Because if I've always found, Catherine, that people just want to work with somebody that they like, that they click with, that they're not afraid to pick up the phone and make the phone call. They're not afraid to stop by their office for a coffee and just chat about something that might be kind of, you know, they need to be put at ease for something. It's really a team building thing. So make sure you've got the right architect, the right contractor lined up, and then patience and communication will carry it the rest of the way.
Okay. Very, very sound advice. And so how can people find you? I know that you're on TikTok. People
I am on TikTok. Check you out, yes. There. Yeah. So I am on any social media platform that is relevant. So Facebook, Instagram, TikTok is where I've been having the most fun.
Yeah.
There's tons of content on there that's not on any of my other platforms. And that would all be under some variation of Dory Azar Architect. One's, you know, dory.azar.architect, one's, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But in general, my website is doryazar.com. Just celebrated our 10-year anniversary this year.
Yeah.
So that's, we're having some good times around here. And if anybody wants to follow along or get in touch, that's how.
Well, that's great. Yeah. And definitely go check out his TikTok. And those of you who are already on TikTok know it's all just not just dancing children. Well, thanks, Dory. Thanks for taking the time. It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
Thanks for listening. I hope you subscribe to this podcast. If you don't, please head over to wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. And if you have time to write a review, that would be so helpful. Please contact me for any reason at thehousemaven@talkinghomerenovations.com. I love to hear from people. You could also join my Facebook group, which is Talking Home Renovations Together. And I'm on there with a bunch of people who have also been on the show, have been guests on the show, and other architects and homeowners and contractors. And so we can just talk about whatever issues people might have right there in the Facebook group. If you're on Clubhouse, come join me, 10 a.m. Eastern, Saturday mornings. There is so much information on my website, which is talkinghomerenovations.com. Head over there for transcripts, episode enhancements, other information. You want to be a guest? That's where you'll find that information in the application. This podcast is a member of Gable Media, which is the largest AEC network on the planet. Check out the other content on the network at gablemedia.com. That's GABLMEDIA.com. This podcast is a production of my architecture firm, Demios Architects, where we believe architects are for everyone. Until next time, take care.